السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 6 to 10 of Surah Al-A'raf today. We'll start off with the word meanings. Inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Beginning with ayah number 6 of Surah A'raf. فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ. Fa is the prefix which means so or then. La, lam fatha, means surely. And then we see the noon fatha, which is a pronoun, and that means we. And sa'ala is the root word, which means to ask. And the noon mushaddad at the end adds more emphasis to whatever is being said. So it means definitely. So there's double emphasis on whatever is being said because we see a short la in the beginning and we see the noon mushaddad later on. So falanas alanna means so or then. We will surely, it means so or then, surely, we will definitely ask. So there's double the emphasis. So we should use the word surely and definitely to show the emphasis. Alladhina, those who, ursila. This comes from the word rusul, which means messengers. Right? So ursila, were sent. Or was sent a messenger or message, ilayhim, ilay, towards him, them, wa, and la, surely, na, means we, sa'ala, means to ask, and nun mushaddad at the end means definitely. So again, we see that there's double the emphasis on whatever is being said. So وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ and surely we will definitely ask. الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Al in the beginning means the, and مُرْسَل means the one sent, meaning the messenger. And إِنَ ending makes this word plural. So الْمُرْسَلِينَ, those who were sent. فَلَنَقُصَّنَّ. Fa in the beginning, this prefix means then or so. La means surely. Na means we, and qisla is the root word here, and that means a story or a narration. And nun mushaddad at the end adds more emphasis to whatever is being said. So falana qussanna, then surely we will definitely narrate, and this becomes a verb in this case. It's a verb, so we will narrate. Alay, upon him, them, be with ilmin, knowledge, wa, and ma, not, kunna. Kun means to be, and when it's put with the pronoun nun alif, which means we, it makes more sense in English to say we were or we are. Ghaibin, one's absent. Ghaib means to be absent, and ina ending makes this word plural. So wa'ibin, one's absent. Wa and al, the, waznu, weighing or balancing. Yawma'idhi, yawma'idh, that day. Yawm means day, and yawma'idh means on that day. And this talks about the day of judgment. Al-haqqa, al means the, and haqqa, the truth or real. Fa, so, man, whoever, thakulat, became heavy. This comes from ثقيل, which means something that's heavy. And ta in the end refers to whatever is being talked about, and this becomes a verb in this case. So ثقلت became heavy. موازينه. This comes from the word وزن that we covered above, which means weighing. So موازينه means scales or balances. Who? His. Fa, so. أولئك, those. Hum, they. Only they. المفلحون are those who are successful. Al in the beginning means the, and فلاح is the root word here. فلامحة, which means success. And adding a meme to the beginning of that, مفلح, means someone who is successful. And una ending makes this word plural. So المفلحون, those who are successful. و, and, من, whoever. خفت, became light. This comes from the word خفيف, which means light. So خفت becomes a verb. So it means became light. موازينه, scales or balances. Who, his. فا, so. أولئك, those. الذين, those who. خسروا, they lost. This comes from خسر, which means a loss. And خسروا is a verb. It's in the third person and it's in the past. And it's plural because it ends in vowel if. So خسروا, they lost. أنفسهم, أنفس is plural. The plural form of the word نفس, which means soul. So أنفس, souls, هم, theirs, meaning themselves. B, because of, ما, what, كانوا, they were. Now this is the same thing that we covered above in كنا, which means we were. But the pronoun na is missing here, and the root word is the same, kun, which means to be. Kanu, ending in vowelif, tells us that this word is in the third person and it is plural. So kanu, they were, be with ayat, verses or signs, na, hours. Yadlimun, they do dhulm. Dhulm is the root word and that means injustice. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person and una ending makes this word plural. So yadhlimun, they do wrong or they do injustice. Wa and la, surely, qad, in fact. So again, there's double emphasis on whatever we are finding out about here. So walaqad and surely, in fact. Makkannakum. Makkan means to settle. Okay, that's why we see the word makan sometimes, which means a place or a settlement. So makanna, noon in the middle is the pronoun which means we, and it refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So makanna, we settled and gave authority, kum, to all of you, fi, in, al, the, arudi, earth, wa, and. Ja'alna, ja'ala means to make. So ja'al, made, na, we, la, for, kum, all of you, fi, in, ha, it, meaning the earth, ma'ayish. Now this is a plural form of the word ma'isha, which means provision. So ma'ayish, provisions, or livelihoods. Qalilan, qalil means a few, or little. Ma, what? So qalilam ma, put together means very little is what. Tashkurun comes from the word shukr, and that means gratitude, thanks. And ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So tashkurun means you all give thanks, or you all are grateful. So qalilam ma tashkurun, very little is what you all give thanks. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start with the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. SubhanAllah, the ayah we're starting off with today is very powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the day of judgment, فَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, then surely we will definitely question those to whom the messengers were sent, and surely we will definitely question the messengers. There is so much emphasis in the words that are used here. Double the emphasis to show the importance of these words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the day of judgment, when everyone will be questioned, He will definitely question ummahs, nations, about the message. He will surely ask them if someone had conveyed the message to them or not, if a messenger had come to them, if they had found out about the message. And they are going to deny it. They'll say that they didn't receive the message. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the messengers if they conveyed the message or not. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that we are all responsible for those who we are in charge of. We'll be questioned about those whom we are in charge of. And since the Rasuls, the messengers, were in charge of their ummahs, they were ordered to convey the message to their people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the messengers if they had conveyed the message to people, the truth. And the messengers will say that they did. In Surah Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will call out to people and ask them how they responded to the messengers. We also learned in Surah Al-Ma'idah that the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather all His messengers, He will ask them how people responded to them, what people had said after they were invited to deen. And we learn that the messengers all will say, "Oh Allah, we don't know. You are the one who knows the ghaib, the unseen. You know everything." In Surah Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Himself. He says, "By your Lord, we will definitely ask them all about the things they did." So everyone will be questioned, even the messengers, which means that there's no exceptions whatsoever. And we learned in Surah Al-Ma'idah that Isa alayhi salam will be questioned too, even though he is one of the Ulul Azm messengers, one of the most mighty messengers. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam worried about this so much. This is why at the farewell pilgrimage, when religion had been completed and he had completed his task of conveying the message to people, he still asked people to testify to make sure that he had done his job. He called people to witness. He said, "Oh people, when you're asked about me on the day of judgment, tell me, have I conveyed the message to you?" And people had said that they testified that he had conveyed the message to them. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed towards the sky and he said, "Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad," 3 times, meaning, "Oh Allah, bear witness that I did convey the message." He was so worried about making sure that he had done his job, because people will deny it on the day of judgment. They'll say that they never found out. When they feel like they're in deep trouble, they will try to plead ignorance, that they just didn't know and nobody ever told them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everyone will be presented before their Lord for questioning. And people will get so nervous when they're being investigated. This happens even in this life. If people are ever investigated about anything, Even if they haven't done anything wrong, they get very nervous. And imagine standing in the court of Allah for the investigation. فَلَنَقُصَّنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ وَمَا كُنَّا غَائِبِينَ. Then surely we will definitely narrate their whole story with knowledge, for we were never absent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell their whole story as an eyewitness, because He knows everything already. After asking them, He will inform them of what they used to do. He doesn't forget anything, and He never makes mistakes when it comes to remembering anything. He has knowledge of everything, even of the leaf that falls from the tree. So how can it be possible for anyone to hide anything from Him? On the Day of Judgment, He will tell people exactly what they did. And that will be a very difficult time for people, because He knows everything. People can deny things all they want, but He knows already. He says, did you think that we were absent and we didn't know? Because sometimes people forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches them all the time. And then they start thinking that He doesn't know what they're doing. And that's why He doesn't seize them for their sins. That's why they're getting away with committing them. But remember that He has His eyes on us. Even now, He's watching. He knows if we are happy to be learning His book right now, and we're doing it attentively in a good way, if we're eager to learn it, or if we're just doing it to get it over with because we're just distracted by other things. He says that He will tell people that He was not absent. So He knows exactly what we do. He tells us in another part of the Quran, وَمَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And He is with you wherever you are. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. He is with you. He is not absent. He sees everything Himself. And He hears everything. So He doesn't need to ask anyone what people did. He is all aware. Nobody can have more knowledge than Him, because He is never absent from any place. Allahu Akbar. This is why we learn from Surah Al-Mujadila that when two people speak, the third with them is Allah. And when three people have a conversation, the fourth with them is Allah. So whatever number of people there are, more or less than that, Allah is with them in every gathering. Now, this doesn't mean that He is physically present in our gatherings. Instead, it means that He is present in His attributes. So He sees and He hears everything, and He is powerful over everything. No matter where we go, He is not absent. He is with us. Nobody can escape from Him. He will tell them on that day, وَمَا كُنَّا غَائِبِينَ. And we were not once absent from any place at any time. وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ. And on that day, the scale of justice shall be established. This means that our deeds will be weighed and balanced on the Day of Judgment, for sure. It will definitely happen. This is true. So nobody should doubt this or think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might not weigh such insignificant things. He will weigh everything, big and small. He will definitely do it. And we must believe that with certainty. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iman, or faith, means to believe in the angels, the books, the messengers, Jannah, Jahannam, and the scale, and to believe in life after death, and to believe in the decree of Allah, whether it's good or bad. Since the scale is mentioned on the list in this hadith, it's important for us to believe in the scale of justice, that it will be established and everything will be weighed on that scale on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qariyah that those whose scales are heavy with good deeds will be well pleased and content. And those who have a light scale will have Havia as their abode, which is a blazing fire. This means that the scale of justice will be established on the Day of Judgment. The scale of justice will definitely be established on that day, and all the things people did will be weighed on that scale. It will be a very stressful time for everyone. We learn from a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha that she said, I remember the fire. She remembered the Jahannam, the hellfire. So she says, I started to cry. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, Oh Aisha, why are you crying? She says, I told him that I was crying because I remembered the fire. I asked, will you remember your family on the Day of Judgment? And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be three times when nobody will remember anyone else, not even the messengers, because those three times will be extremely difficult. So nobody will even think about anyone else. The first is when a person stands by his scale until he finds out if his deeds are heavy or light on the scale. While his deeds are being weighed, he does not even think of anything else because he's so worried about himself. The second time is when a person will receive their record, their book, until it's confirmed that he receives his record in his right hand. He won't remember anything else until the book of deeds is handed over to him, either in his right hand or behind his back. The third is when the bridge of Sirat is placed above Jahannam. Until a person crosses the bridge, he will not be able to think about anything else at all until he gets across. People won't care about anyone else because they won't be in their senses. They'll only be concerned about their own selves. Allahu Akbar. So one meaning of وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَ إِذِنِ الْحَقُّ means that it will happen for sure. It will definitely happen. So don't doubt that it may not happen. It is the truth. So everything will be weighed. Secondly, this means that everything will be weighed with justice on that day. Fairly, everything will be weighed properly without any injustice towards anyone. Justice will be established. And what's going to be weighed in a person's scale? That will either lead to their success or failure. What is it that will be weighed on their scale? Well, we learned that a person's intentions will be weighed and their actions will be weighed. The things people say will be weighed too. That's why we find out from a hadith that there are two kalimat, or words, that are very easy on the tongue, but they're very heavy on the scales. So it's so easy to say the words, but they're so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they will be very heavy on the scale. And those words are, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahil Azim. These words praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this proves that the words that come out of a person's mouth will be weighed. Even people will be weighed on that day, which we will discuss a little bit later, inshallah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that only the haqq or truth will have weight on that day. Only good deeds will have a weight. Bad deeds will not have any weight at all. They will appear like mountains of deeds, a bunch of them, a huge pile, but they'll blow away like dust because they won't have any weight. And only the haqq will have weight on that day. The batil, or falsehood, will not have any weight at all. Bad deeds and sins will not have any weight either, even if they're placed on the scale. They will be light. Only good deeds will be heavy. This is why فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So those whose scale of good deeds will be heavy, they are the ones who will attain felicity. Their scales will be heavy. They will be the successful ones. But as for those who do bad deeds, they will not succeed. وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. And those whose scale is light, because they have so many bad deeds which don't have any weight, they shall find themselves in loss. They lost their souls due to their bad deeds. From this, some say that maybe there will only be one scale just to weigh good deeds. Okay, one scale that all the deeds will be put in, just the good deeds, and only good deeds will be added to it. If it's heavy, that person succeeds. But if it's light, that person fails. Also, some scholars say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people according to their capacity, according to their standard, their merit. This means that a merit or amount that will be set for each of us, each one of us will be different according to our standard and our capacity, our personal capacity, what we're capable of doing. If we bring enough good deeds to pass, if we meet that standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us, we will succeed. And if we do not meet that standard, according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined for us, if we fail to get enough good deeds, we will not pass. And each person's standard or merit will be different due to their individual circumstances, their personal situations, their health, their strength, and their capacity. So each one of us will be judged according to our own capacity. If we were to compare one of us to a woman from a remote village, from a part of the world, some remote part of the world, who doesn't even have access to the internet, electricity, or running water, she is not educated, and she does not have access to ilm or knowledge. She only knows whatever she sees around her. If we think about her merit or her standard, it will be very different from the standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets for one of us. If you are someone with access to so many facilities, so much ease, and to be able to seek ilm easily, the way most of us are, alhamdulillah, that we have so much ease, so many blessings in this life, so many comforts, it wouldn't be fair to compare that Bedouin woman from the desert to one of us. This is why everyone is judged according to their own capacity. The more luxuries a person has, the more comforts they are given, the more energy they have, the better health a person has, safety and blessings. When a person has all these things and more of them, the higher that person's standard is. They are expected to do more because they have convenience. It's convenient for them to do more. For someone who worries every second of the day that a bomb may fall over them and explode at any time, they're not going to be judged like us. They'll be judged differently because their situation is totally different from someone who's safe and who enjoys so many blessings. Anyone who is granted so many favors will have a high merit, a high standard that they will have to meet because everything is so favorable for them. Everything is so convenient. They have no excuse. This is why we should never compare people. The ones who do a little bit more should never compare themselves to those who are not able to do as much in the way of Allah. We don't know that person's situation. And maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not testing them to meet such high standards as the one with more ease. He's not required to meet those high levels, those standards. We cannot judge people according to the things we see, according to what we watch them doing, because we don't know what environment they live in, how they grew up, and how capable they are of seeking knowledge, or how knowledgeable they are. Maybe they don't have as many resources as we do. So never compare yourselves to people and claim that, oh, they're so ignorant that they don't know any better, they don't try to learn or implement the teachings of the Quran. We should never think that we're doing so much and other people aren't doing enough, because we should be doing a lot more than we are. Even if you think you're doing a lot, we're expected to do a lot more because of all the comforts, the blessings, and the convenience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. We are expected to do more. So we should never compare ourselves to others who struggle just to survive. They work all day just for their basic needs. We can't say that they don't take out as much time for the Quran in reading it or memorizing it or understanding it as we do. We have more ease than so many others, so we're obviously expected to do more than them. And we learned that people will be weighed too on the Day of Judgment. Hadith explains that a chubby, like a plump man, will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. And when he is weighed, he won't even weigh as much as the wing of a mosquito. So the person's actions determine their weight. It has nothing to do with their body weight, like we weigh in this life. It all depends on their actions. And if you're wondering how our actions will be weighed, how our salah will be weighed, for example, our prayers, think about what people of the past would have thought if they found out that we can figure out the temperature, the speed of wind, and the humidity today. We can't see any of these things, but these things are calculated, even though we don't even know where they are around us. We don't see them physically. People from the past would have thought that it's impossible to determine these things, but we can figure them out. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh our deeds, even though we cannot see them. And this is why it's hard to understand. It's hard for us to understand, because we can't even imagine how it's going to happen. So we may wonder how he's going to do it, because we can't see our deeds right now. But he will give them a physical form. And we're especially taught to recite Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran a lot, because they will come in the form of two clouds to provide shade for us on the Day of Judgment. Or they'll come as two flocks of birds to shade over the person who reads them. So we should try to recite them very often. We can recite part of both surahs on a daily basis, even a few ayat from each if we can't recite a lot, because they are long. Because these surahs will really help a person who recites them. So our deeds will come in a physical form on the Day of Judgment. They will have weight depending on our intentions. The Quran that a person recites will come to that person with a youthful, fresh, bright face. When we look at the Quran now, it doesn't appear that way. But that's how it will be after our death. And the person who sees the Quran in his grave will ask who he is. And it will say, I am your Quran. I am Quran that kept you awake at night and kept you from drinking water during the day. This means that the person used to recite the Quran so much that his throat used to get dry during the day from its recitation. And he stayed up at night reciting it. This is for anyone who recites the Quran a lot. And Hadith tells us that a youthful, beautiful, and fragrant one will come to a person's grave. And when that person asks who he is, it will say, I am your good deeds. But we don't see the face of our good deeds today. But they will come in the form of a beautiful young person in the grave. As for someone who does bad deeds, a terrifying, scary-looking, horrible-smelling one will come to their grave. We also find out that salah and fasting and other good deeds will be given a physical appearance too, a physical form. That's not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. And as for salah, people will have a very weak form show up as their prayers if their prayers are not so good, if they're done without khushu and khudu. So some people will have a very weak form that comes as their prayers, and others will have a strong one. We should remember that three things will be weighed: our actions, our bodies, depending on our deeds, and our records. This is proved from Hadith. There's another Hadith that proves that our bodies will be weighed that day also. Abdullah bin Mas'ud used to have very thin calves. So the other Sahaba started laughing when they saw his calves. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard them. When he heard them, he said, I swear by Allah, they are even heavier than Mount Uhud, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sight of Allah. This means that they'll be even heavier than Mount Uhud on the scale. And it means that people will be weighed on that day. People will have weight. And we find out from another hadith, which is called the Hadith of the Card, or Hadith al-Bitaqa. A man will have 99 extensive scrolls of sins laid out on the Day of Judgment. The scrolls will be huge, full of his sins. That person will feel hopeless. But a bitaka, or a card, will be brought. And he'll be told that he has this one good deed that's written on the card. But the man doesn't think it would benefit him much against all those scrolls of sins. But when that card with the good deed is placed on the scale, it will outweigh all his scrolls of sins. And what will be on the small card that outweighs the 99 scrolls of sins? It will be the testimony of faith. La ilaha illallah. So this hadith explains that our records will be weighed as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our deeds heavy on that day when our deeds are weighed. And may He protect us against the terrors of that day. Ameen. So there will either be a scale with two sides, where the good deeds and bad deeds will be placed on two separate sides of it, or all the deeds will be placed on one scale to weigh the good deeds. Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But the heaviest deed on the scale in regards to dealing with people will be a good character. Just as the Shahada is the heaviest deed on the scale in regards to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the people whose scale is light, فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, then they will find themselves in loss. بِمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَظْلِمُونَ, because they had done injustice to our revelations. Now this is a Makki surah. It was revealed before migration to Medina, so it focuses on Tawheed, on the belief of one Allah. It focuses on prophethood and the Akhirah, the hereafter. And this ayah is about prophethood. They rejected the Quran that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with. And this is why they lost their souls, because they wronged the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did injustice to them. Now we all know what it means to be unjust towards other people, to treat them unjustly. But how do people commit injustice towards the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does that mean, that they did not fulfill their obligations towards the ayat of Allah? How does that happen? Well, it's really important to find out, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that their scales will be light on that day because of the injustice they committed with his ayat. We have to find out how, so we don't make the same mistake. So what are our obligations towards the ayat of Allah? First and foremost, we have to believe in them, and we must recite them, understand them, learn them, implement them in life, and tell others about them too. That is the haqq, the right of the ayat of Allah over us. These are the rights we have to fulfill, the obligations that we must fulfill of the ayat. If we don't do this, we are being unjust towards his ayat. As believers, we have to implement them after believing in them. We have to follow them. So that means that we must learn and understand them, right? That's the only way it will be possible to follow them, after we learn and understand them. Then we have to convey the message to others as well. Tell others what the ayat say. If we don't, we are not being just towards his ayat. We are committing injustice towards his verses. One of the crimes that the Jews committed was that they used to throw the ayat of Allah behind their backs. That's what we learned in Surah Al-Baqarah. Not physically. They didn't do it physically because they really respected the ayat. But they didn't follow them. So it was no use. All the respect they showed for the ayat, or they had in their hearts, did not help them in any way. They ignored what the ayat said, as if they had thrown them behind their backs. So if we're doing the things we just went over, we are fulfilling our duty towards Allah's ayat. If we are studying them, if we believe in them and we recite them and we're trying to understand them, implement what we're taught in these ayat, and we're telling others about them. If we do all these things, we are fulfilling our duty towards Allah's ayat. We're carrying out our obligation towards them. Otherwise, we are doing dhulm. We are being unjust. For being unjust towards the ayat of Allah, there are serious consequences of this injustice, which is خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. People's scales will be light as a result of this injustice. وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and surely we definitely established you on the earth. وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشَ, and we have provided you means of your sustenance in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us stability here on earth. He has settled us here. He gave us control over some things here. The blessings that He gave us are meant to establish us here. He gave us provision, livelihood. Everything that we use was granted to us by Him. All the blessings that He's given us are ma'ayish. Think about this. He hasn't just given enough for us to just get by or barely survive. He has granted us so many blessings, countless blessings. If we take the example of food, there are so many different kinds of food that we enjoy. Fruits and vegetables and meats and so many kinds of drinks. And He gave us air to breathe, oxygen to enable us to breathe comfortably. He gave us comfortable beds to rest in. So many different kinds of clothes that we can choose from when it comes to dressing. He provided us with so many things that we need in life, more than just the necessities. He didn't just give us one outfit to wear and one food item to eat all the time. He gave us a variety of the provisions He granted us. But قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ, very little it is that you pay thanks. Very few people are grateful. Most people are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even the ones who are grateful, they don't thank Him very much. They thank Him very little. They don't thank Him enough. Instead of doing shukr, or being thankful to Him, they do kufr, which is being ungrateful. Kufr is the exact opposite of shukr. And shukr does not just mean to say alhamdulillah. It actually means to acknowledge how generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, to recognize His generosity, to know that He has granted us so many blessings. It means to recognize how gracious He is. Now let's go over the five basic components of shukr today, so we can try to be grateful, inshallah. If we don't do these five basic things, we're not thanking Him. We're not grateful to Him. The first thing on the list is to humble ourselves before the Mun'im, before the one who grants us blessings. Only when we recognize His favor upon us do we show gratitude towards Him through humility. Even when a person gives us a small present, we thank them and it really pleases us. We're happy, we like that person. And think about the one who granted us countless blessings. Everything that we have has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that should make us realize how humble we should be in front of Him. We must humble ourselves before Him. The second thing we must do is to love the Mun'im. Love the one who gifted us so many things. Thirdly, say that He has given us so many blessings. Say alhamdulillah. Acknowledge His favors. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us words that we should say before going to bed. Because for anyone who says these kalimat that he mentioned, it's as if he has praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all His creation. And the kalimat are Alhamdulillahilladhi kafani wa awani. Alhamdulillahilladhi at'amani wa saqani. Alhamdulillahilladhi manna alayya wa afdala. Alhamdulillah. No, the last part is Allahumma inni as'aluka bi izzatika an tunajjini minan nar. So first is Alhamdulillahi alladhi kafani wa awani. All praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is enough for me and gave me protection. And then Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani wa saqani. All praises for Allah, the one who has fed me and provided me drink. And next is Alhamdulillahi alladhi manna alayya wa aftala. All praise is for Allah, the one who bestowed favors on me and blessed me. And then Allahumma inni as'aluka. O Allah, I ask bi'izzatika. As'aluka bi'izzatika. I ask by your honor. An tunajjini minan nar. That you save me from the hellfire. We should try to make this dua at night. And there are many other ways to thank him as well. So we should use the beautiful words that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people ask what favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on them, because they're facing problems. They're experiencing a few problems in life, or one particular problem that overwhelms them. And then they say, well, what favors do we have? Astaghfirullah. They don't realize that he has granted them countless blessings too. Even if they're facing a few problems or one problem, they are blessed in so many other ways, and they can never thank him enough for those blessings. But they tend to ignore all the blessings that they have, and they focus on the one problem they're experiencing. Of course, everyone goes through problems in life. Everyone faces trials and tests, but the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us are way more than the problems we experience. They outweigh the problems. There are always many more blessings in our lives compared to the problems. If anyone is ill, they should think about all the other blessings that they have, for which they can never thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough. If someone is upset due to something their kids experience, they're stressed out about their kids, something about them, there must be so many other blessings that that person isn't thinking of, that he doesn't even realize he's been blessed with. So the third thing is to acknowledge all the blessings he's given us. Thank him for them. Say that he has granted us many favors. Say Alhamdulillah. The fourth thing we must do in order to express gratitude towards the Mun'im, meaning towards the one who gives us those ni'mas, the blessings, is to use the blessing that he gave us in the way he wants us to, where he wants us to. Use the blessing according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's instructions. He gave us wealth, so we should spend it how he tells us to. He gave us eyes, so we should look at things he tells us to see, not things that he has forbidden. He gave us ears, so we should use them to listen to beneficial things, avoid listening to bad things. He gave us a tongue so we can speak, but it's not meant to be used for cursing others or saying bad things, for backbiting or lying. So in order to express shukr to him, we must do it with all our organs. Use the organs. And that is to use each organ in the way he has ordered, in the way that pleases him, that he likes. Junaid Baghdadi said, shukr is to think that you did not deserve a blessing, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you. This is what we should always think, that I did not deserve what my Allah has given me. We should never think that we deserved it because we worked so hard for something, or that we were so wise, so of course we were gonna get it. No, we did not deserve it. If we do that, we're taking the credit for the blessings He has granted us. We act like we did deserve them, even though we didn't. Abu Uthman said, "Shukr is to recognize that you cannot possibly thank the Mun'im. You cannot thank Him for everything He's given you." If we think of it that way, that we cannot ever thank Him for everything He's granted us, we give up. We realize that there's no way that we can thank Him enough for all the blessings we're surrounded by. Now, this doesn't mean that we stop thanking Him for everything He's granted us. We have to continue doing that. But we should know that we can never thank Him enough for so many blessings. We should keep in mind that it's just not possible to show our gratitude or to thank Him enough as we should. And the fifth and the last thing we must do is to make time for our Mun'im, to show how grateful we are to Him. Make time for Him. Don't get too caught up in the blessings He gives us to the point where we're lost. Don't forget about Him. Remember the one who gave you these blessings. For example, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a house, we shouldn't just spend all our time taking care of the house. To the extent where we forget about the one who gave it to us. Many people who study the Quran stop when they have children because they say that they don't have time anymore. They say that the child keeps them so busy, even though they should thank Him even more now for granting them children. They should make even more time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the favors, because of more favors that He's granted them now. So how can we forget the one who grants us blessings and just get caught up in the blessings? We should love Him intensely, knowing that He has granted us so many blessings. Acknowledge His favors upon us. Praise Him. Thank Him. That's how we can show our gratitude to Him. That's how we can express gratitude. We must think about our attitude in life and figure out if we are among the qalilam ma tashkurun, the few people who are thankful. Let's try to be of the few who are thankful to Him, not the majority of people who are ungrateful. We should avoid complaining about our family members and other things in life because we're being ungrateful for the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us if we complain about things. Many women tend to complain casually about their kids or their husbands or their parents or siblings or friends. But we should be grateful for having them in our lives. A lot of women will end up in Jahannam because they're ungrateful to their husbands. Don't take the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us for granted, as we have the right to get those blessings. Don't act like that, because we were not entitled to them. We didn't have the right to get all those favors, but He granted us these gifts. Value the favors He bestowed upon us and thank Him. The Quran is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And to show Him that we're thankful for this blessing, we have to make time for it and connect to it. Thank Him for it and follow its instructions. Follow its guidance. Seek guidance from it so we can use it the way He wants us to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to do that. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته